using human detainees as a chip to play against the United States.
North Korea tries to gain bargaining advantage. It's Tuesday, May 9th. This is VOA Asia. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We're online right now at VOA Asia Facebook. Also ahead, Southeast Asia's economy grows amid big issues. China seeks to counter terrorism by expanding trade. Khmer Rouge survivors still seek justice. Storing solar energy and your personal way to track pollution. It's all on today's VOA Asia. The wife of a U.S. citizen who was detained in North Korea over the weekend is appealing for his immediate release. Kim Myok said, "I hope everyone joins in resolving this issue as soon as possible." Agriculture researcher Kim Hak-song was arrested Saturday on suspicion of hostile acts against the North Korean government. He is the fourth American currently detained in North Korea. Kim is the second faculty member of the Pyongyang University of Science and Technology, or PUST, to be arrested in as many months. The U.S. State Department said it is aware of the detention and reaffirmed that the security of U.S. citizens is one of the department's highest priorities. The latest detentions come amid rising tensions over the North's missile and nuclear programs. Tufts University Korea analyst Sung-Yoon Lee tells VOA's Victor Beatty the charges against Kim are arbitrary and fake, and he represents just the latest bargaining chip in a protracted struggle with the United States, which is trying to isolate the North Korean regime.
I'm afraid it seems as if North Korea is using human detainees as a chip to play against the United States. And, you know, that raises human rights questions, profound human rights questions. Also, PUST, the Pyongyang University of Science and Technology, was to be a gateway to North Korea for the Americans with good intentions to show, to educate North Korean elites, the children of elites, about science, technology, and also learnings from the United States, from the outside world, and also for North Korea to benefit from this cultural, educational exposure. But this tendency to detain American citizens and now two people who have been working for PUST, that raises questions about North Korea's future financial and educational gains to be had from this joint venture. I think it would have a deterrent effect, deterring other American teachers from participating in this venture in the future.
Well, now we have four Americans detained. Three of the four are Korean Americans. What is the future of PUST University?
It remains to be seen. I think it's still too soon to tell, but if there are fewer and fewer teacher volunteers, and if North Korea is using these people to trump up these kinds of false charges and to use as pawns against the Trump administration, the future does not look very promising. To date, I'm not sure that this venture has brought real benefits to the United States. I'm sure many North Korean students have benefited from this venture being educated by Americans. But I don't know if this kind of engagement project has brought any tangible benefits to the United States or to its allies in terms of changing North Korea, in terms of reforming North Korea, in terms of changing the behavior of the Kim Jong-un regime.
PUST accounting instructor Kim Sung-dok was detained last month. University of Virginia student Otto Warmbier was sentenced to 15 years hard labor last year for attempting to steal a propaganda banner. Missionary Kim Dong-shul was sentenced to 10 years hard labor last year for subversion. These are among some of the top Asia stories trending on voanews.com. South Korea poised for change election. Cautious maritime deal expected between China and the Philippines. Indonesia to disband hardline Islamic group. Afghan U.S. forces deal critical blows to Islamic State terror operations. China's lawyer's family says U.S. helped them flee. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and more on Facebook at VOA Asia and on our voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. The United Nations says Southeast Asia's economic success has been marked by an expansion of organized crime and terrorism challenges, especially in areas of weak governance and limited capacities. The UN's Office on Drugs and Crime said the economic gains have led to major upgrades in air, road, rail, and port infrastructure, as well as an easing of cross-border controls. It added that while new economic development opportunities have occurred, it has also led to differences and disparities between countries' abilities to address transnational organized crime and related security challenges. UNODC Deputy Executive Director Aldo Lel Demaz, speaking at a regional security conference, said the signs are there of common security challenges from transnational crime.
The increasing connection of Southeast Asia to the rest of Asia and the global community is indeed impressive. But whilst increased connectivity holds many clear-cut benefits for trade and economic growth here in Asia, we see clear evidence of growing common security challenges, including those posed by transnational crime and terrorist groups.
Southeast Asia has reported strong economic gains and trade development. The Association of Southeast Asian Nations reported the region's combined economic output at $2.55 trillion in 2016, with merchandise trade at $1.06 trillion in the first half of 2016, of which 24% was intra-ASEAN. Somchai Shanglai is an advisor to the Thai Justice Minister, and he says the pace of ASEAN's development, integration, and regional security challenges highlighted the need for increased cross-border solutions.
Transnational crime poses significant threat to sustainable economic development with detrimental effect, including fueling of corruption and the distortion of the open market. It also poses threat to national stability and security of population.
Somchai adds the expanded trade has led to risks of an increase in crimes, including human trafficking, money, drug and precursor to chemical trading, counterfeit goods, wildlife and forest products, as well as terrorists able to move across borders more easily. UNODC's Lael Demaz says the massive amounts involved in transnational crime poses a threat to regional sovereign states.
Transnational organized crime, especially money flows in the region, are conservatively estimated to exceed a rather large amount of nearly $100 billion U.S. dollars per year, accumulating each year. This enormous sum is nearly double the legitimate GDP of a country such as Myanmar, and many times the GDPs of other countries in the region. This is a very powerful force acting without respect as regards sovereign borders, states, or people.
UN officials said the added concern lies with fears of terrorist attacks by members linked to the so-called Islamic State. UN officials assert that conservative estimates say at least 1,000 people from the region have traveled to the Middle East as foreign fighters, some of whom are now returning. ASEAN leaders recently meeting in Manila committed to addressing transnational and transboundary challenges and threats that have the potential to undermine the stability and well-being of ASEAN member states and the region. Jeremy Douglas, Asia-Pacific UNODC regional representative, says the ASEAN meeting highlighted the need to address solutions to boost regional security.
Leadership of the region agreed that they needed to start to prioritize securing borders of this region to counter transnational organized crime and terrorism threats, which appear to be expanding and growing in certain parts of the region. These types of crimes include drug trafficking, human trafficking, wildlife and forest crime, as well as the movement of terrorists across multiple borders.
He says Thailand, a major transit destination for drug trafficking, has been taking steps to put in place mechanisms at land borders to combat transnational crime flows. Across the region, port control units have been established in 8 countries to monitor and secure shipping trade and reduce the risks of trafficking through key ports. Officials are calling on regional law enforcement, justice, and agencies to work closer on the economic threats posed by transnational cross-border crimes. The UNODC said border management has been identified as one of 9 key issues needed to be addressed under the ASEAN political security community. Our thanks to Ron Corbin in Bangkok for bringing us this story. Happening now in Asia, China and the Philippines are expected to cement a year of solid relations this month by signing a cautious yet friendly agreement on the joint use of the South China Sea that has deeply divided them. A date has not been announced for the respective foreign ministry officials to meet. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're always glad to have you with us on VOA Asia. Thanks so much for joining us today. China is extending its Belt and Road Initiative to troubled Afghanistan, causing analysts to wonder if Beijing's trying to expand its role in the Middle East and also putting itself at the center of the international battle against terrorism. China's connectivity program involves extending the China-Pakistan Economic Corridor, which is part of BRI, to Afghanistan and then stretching to the Belt to its neighbors, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and Iran. Researcher Ahmad Bilal Khalil with the Center for Strategic and Regional Studies in Kabul, who is in close touch with the Afghan government on the development plans, provided details in an interview with VOA. The projects include two highways, two railway lines, and a major hydroelectricity dam over the Kunar River. The idea is to lay a road and rail lines linking Pakistan to Afghanistan and further into Central Asia. Ahmad Bilal Khalil says China needs to enter Afghanistan with economic projects to ensure the unhindered progress of its ongoing $50 billion project in Pakistan.
If Afghanistan becomes involved in these two projects, it will somehow affect the security situation in Afghanistan. And it will bring more Pakistani interests and Chinese economic interests into Afghanistan. And there will be, if there is insecurity in Afghanistan, like, could also affect the CPAC and One Belt, One Road.
China's plans are indeed ambitious and prompted by its foreign policy objective to be regarded seriously as a big power. David Kelly, head of Beijing-based consulting firm China Policy, is among analysts who say it is important for China to show what it can do where the U.S. has failed to achieve in the Middle East.
If the interest of Belt and Road is to run through to the Middle East, Afghanistan is an area where China hopes to make a difference. It hopes that its investment and connectivity will ameliorate the tensions that are in that country and that they can achieve something that the Americans and before them the Soviets were unable to do. That is to dampen the sectarian violence and conflict.
These plans, of course, are easier said than done. There are clashes on the border between Pakistan and Afghanistan, which have killed more than 50 people in the past 2 days. Uzbekistan has opposed the plan for extending rail and road connectivity to Central Asia, saying they'll be utilized by terrorists for expanding their activities. China wants to tackle the problem by presenting itself as a benefactor in Afghanistan. Ahmad Bilal Khalil says violent separatists based in China's Xinjiang region are known to have cross-border links with the Taliban in Pakistan and Afghanistan, and also with Islamic groups in Central Asia.
If drugs or opium can be exported from Afghanistan to Central Asia, there is also a huge possibility that terrorism and extremism will also be exported to Central Asia. That's where the Chinese Beijing has concerns.
China has invested heavily in the copper mines of Afghanistan, although the results have not been encouraging because of political and infrastructure challenges. It wants to build connectivity to access the mountain country's minerals. There are some risks inherent in China's view of the world as well. David Kelly of China Policy says Beijing believes it is possible to replace religious fundamentalism by offering economic benefits. But this policy has been proven wrong in the past.
We see the problem there is that the Taliban do not have a central authority in the same sense that China is used to. So whereas China can negotiate with the Vatican, they may find that the political structure of power in Afghanistan and with the Taliban is dispersed.
Analysts said China is also laying the pathway for the massive construction business that will be available once the process of reconstructing war-torn Afghanistan gets underway. But Beijing's main objective is advancing its strategic and security interests beyond Pakistan. Our thanks to Saibal Dasgupta in Beijing for sending us this story. You're listening to VOA Asia. This news alert from VOA Asia, the U.S. and Philippines have begun a downsized version of their annual joint military exercises. They're focusing on disaster response and battling counterterrorism. VOA Asia Facebook has all the big stories each day. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues now as the Khmer Rouge ruled Cambodia for just 4 years in the 1970s, but in that time, it was responsible for one of the worst mass killings of the 20th century. At least 1.7 million people, nearly a quarter of Cambodia's population, were killed by execution, disease, starvation, and overwork. VOA Asia's Steve Miller has more about a new documentary showing survivors of the Khmer Rouge are still seeking justice that they lost decades ago.
The 69-minute film Days of Justice is expected to display a broad understanding of the suffering the Cambodian people went through during the Khmer Rouge, says Terrence Graham, Associate Dean and Executive Director of International Programs at California State University.
Bringing this documentary film to campus would be a great opportunity to raise awareness on our campus and a great educational opportunity for our students.
The film intends to define justice through the lens of survivors, says Michael Sieve, the film's producer.
What is justice? When I started following them, I don't know what it is.
Steve's question has not been answered, or might never be.
So that's why I use the word days of justice, is that days we're not fully clear. And I think it's going to be an ongoing kind of question, ongoing journey, probably for the rest of most people's lives.
The film featured three female Cambodian-American Khmer Rouge survivors who traveled to Phnom Penh to give testimony at the Khmer Rouge trial in 2011. Among them was Saram Nev, who lost her husband and her two children to the regime.
I want to know why a lot of people died during the Khmer Rouge.
Nev was supposed to testify against Ieng Sary, one of the Khmer Rouge leaders, but she did not have a chance to do so, as he had already passed away. However, she still wants to see those leaders held accountable for their actions.
Some Khmer Rouge people did not appear in the court even though they got the order. They are still in power. Only some appear.
The documentary is scheduled to be screened on February 2nd at the university, where there is a great diversity of people from across the world, especially Cambodian Americans in the city of Long Beach. The screening of the film is an opportunity for the community to break their silence and share their trauma, strength, and resilience, says Lakana Nuv, associate professor in the Department of Sociology at the university.
Film is very powerful as a mechanism to allow people to visually see images that perhaps they themselves also experience on a personal level. As a Cambodian, every Cambodian should watch this film.
For Chenda Hong, I'm Steve Miller in Washington.
Do you lead a busy life? Not always able to catch your favorite VOA radio or TV program? If you are keen to stay in touch with world news and events, give VOA Podcasts a try.
VOAnews.com.
Visit our website at VOAnews.com to learn how you can become a subscriber to VOA Podcasts and keep your life up to date.
VOA News, your trusted source for news and information.
Developing at this hour in Asia, South Korea elects a new president today following a year of political upheaval, including scandal, protests, and impeachment. Liberal Democratic Party of Korea candidate Moon Jae-in leads the latest public opinion polls with an approval rating of over 40%. Follow the latest on VOA Asia Facebook. Now on VOA Asia, generating solar energy is pretty easy. Storing it's the challenge. VOA's Kevin Enix reports a research team from Sweden is now working on an innovative way to fix this frustrating problem.
There is one big problem with solar energy. It's a use-it-or-lose-it technology. That means it's really hard to save for literally a rainy day. But Kasper Moff Poulsen has a dream.
So my dream is that we can transfer our research project here in the lab into a real product, a real energy-producing system that can be applied in the whole world.
The Swedish researcher is trying to realize that dream in the lab by creating liquid molecules that will absorb and store solar energy indefinitely.
It is the molecule that we are making is absorbing sunlight. The sunlight is then transforming the molecule into another molecule, a so-called isomer. And this isomer is stable over time. So we can leave it in a storage tank. And then when we need the energy, we can return, trigger our molecule, the stored molecule, to release the energy as heat. And then we recover original molecule.
It's called a molecular solar thermal system. And if it sounds complicated, that's because it is.
So it has to be efficient in absorbing the sunlight, has to capture a big part of the sunlight, has to be efficient in the transformation into the energy storage molecule, and it has to have a high energy density so that it doesn't take up much space. And finally, it needs to be cheap, available, and robust over long periods of time. So we are trying our best to develop a molecule that possesses all these properties at the same time.
So far, the team has created molecules that can convert 1% of the solar energy absorbed into stored chemical energy. Poulsen says the system will be ready for prime time when created molecules by the team's lab can store 10% of the sun's energy. Kevin Enix, VOA News, Washington.
Air pollution is a big problem in many parts of Asia. That's why we're looking at a new smog tracker, which monitors pollution levels for residents in Rome as they travel around their city. VOA's Deborah Block tells us a device is being tested that indicates which parts of the city have good or bad air quality.
The smog tracker, called Monica, keeps people informed about air quality levels as they move throughout Rome. The idea is to help them choose places where the air is cleaner. The device can be placed on a bike or baby stroller. Monica was developed by scientists at INEA, Italy's National Agency for New Technologies, Energy, and Sustainable Economic Development.
Monica's signal is transmitted to an interface for users via a mobile phone app. The interface allows air concentration levels to be monitored in real time and features an index about air quality. This allows the user to immediately know the air quality they are breathing in. The phone gives a geographical reference to that signal, building a map according to the path traveled in the city. The path features different colors according to the air quality, green for great air quality, and as the quality progressively gets downgraded, it turns to red.
Monica sensors can track several air pollutants.
This system is equipped with four electrochemical sensors that allow it to monitor concentrations of carbon monoxide, nitrous gas, and ozone, together with temperature and humidity.
The researchers hope the smog tracker will raise awareness of Rome's pollution problems.
People themselves can offer answers with their own behavior in traffic by using private instead of public transportation or turning on the heat in their homes at certain times.
Although the technology is currently designed for biking or walking, the Italian researchers are working to make it available for people who are running or driving a car. Deborah Block, VOA News, Washington.
VOA Asia has many listeners across the region. We thank you so much for joining us, and we'd like to hear from you. You can send us a message on Facebook at VOA Asia. Our thanks to Director Tracy Carter, Engineer Daryl Smith, Managing Editor Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, including Ali Ogden. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day.